Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to this week's edition of SMIE Consulting's Midweek Roundup. For those of you who are new to our session, these are regular Wednesday afternoon chats on the East Coast in the U.S. that cover three main issues that have come up in the news in the last 7 days or so. And we take the time each week to highlight some of the important pieces in the article and in the different articles that we're talking about, and really have an idea of hoping to provide you some insight on how you can best apply some of the lessons learned from these articles to what you do in your day-to-day work on your international admissions strategies. So I hope you can join me each Wednesday. This week's topics are going to cover some of the important issues of the day, particularly with China. First of all, kind of an inbound question for China: why do international students go to China? That's been an increasing trend in the last few years. An interesting article out of Inside Higher Ed on that. Then on the flip side, what do Chinese parents feel about studying in the United States, their children studying in the United States? And there's some interesting data that's come from a recent Verikant survey that the Pi News highlighted this past week. And the final is particularly relevant with this week being NACAC week, and that's kicking off today in Salt Lake City. Kudos to all my admissions colleagues who made it out and guidance counselor colleagues that made it out to Salt Lake for that event. Sorry I can't be with you this year. Hopefully we'll be back next year at the next national conference for NACAC. So what I'd like to cover today is, as we talked about the three different stories that are coming live with this week's Midweek Roundup, first we're going to cover an Inside Higher Ed story on the trend recently of not just, as we already know in the U.S. and many other countries around the world, China sends the most students abroad to study outside their home country, but they are also an increasingly large destination country for international students. So I'm posting the link to this Inside Higher Ed article from this past week that details this story and why international students are studying in China. And it's an interesting mix. We see in China, as with many things the Chinese government is committed to, is making sure they are seen as a leader in the world with not only their economy, but also their role in foreign affairs, their huge investments they've made in infrastructure in many countries in Africa as well as South Asia. There are just growing links across the globe that China is creating its own soft power, so to speak, economically. But they're also looking to bring in, for the benefit of students who do not in China, that do not study outside of their country, they're looking to bring in a significant amount of students from overseas to help raise the level, quality level of Chinese universities in terms of the experience that students have, and also just the diversity of perspectives from around the world. So very, very much in terms of what they're saying on the surface, very much the same values that many institutions around the world that have become hubs for international students over the years are seeing as a regular part of what is happening. So the article from Inside Higher Ed, and thank you, Kelvin, for joining in the session today. Good to see you. I know it's been quite a while. The article that was produced initially in the Journal of Studies in International Education puts out the data that's been out there for a while, that the number of international students studying in China has grown more than tenfold since 1995, from 36,855, a paltry number, to well over 440,000 in that 10 years, or in that 13 years. So, interestingly, maybe not, depending on where how familiar you are with the Chinese market, Right now, more than half, about 57.9% of international students in China are coming from other Asian countries. Now that number, that 442,000 number that are currently in China, that's also data reflected in the Project Atlas data that is available through IIE. That now puts China in the third largest destination country for international students in the world. So what it did do on that in that survey, it's interviews a number of students international students that are currently in China, and it found that the reputation of the institution within China was the most important factor affecting international students' decision to study in China. So what is interesting, they noted that China does have a sizable number of top-ranked universities compared to countries in Africa, Southeast Asia, and Latin America. In fact, I think it was just reported this past weekend that China now has most highly ranked in Times Higher Ed rankings, most highly ranked university in Asia. So interesting that their profile has obviously been on the move upwards. So within this percentage of 58% roughly of international students in China that are from other parts of Asia, with the exception of Japan, that group were more concerned with university reputation compared to peers from other countries. But students from Europe, North America, and Sub-Saharan Africa were comparatively less concerned with the quality and reputation indicators of institutions within China that they chose to study in. So interesting to see that that dichotomy there on motivations for international students coming to China. So what is also fairly clear, the China article makes clear, is that economic factors are a considerable factor related to low cost of living and availability of scholarships within China. Anyone who's traveled in China knows outside of the big cities and even street markets around the country, food is relatively less expensive than anywhere else. That's certainly in the Western world. And that also allows for, to a lesser extent, housing, but also cost of living can be lower in certain areas outside the larger cities. So what does that mean? So that really impacts what the Chinese government is trying to do, cost of living being low, but then the scholarship factor is also very significant. Right now, and talk about government funding for international education, right now, the Chinese government commits the equivalent of $300 million a year in scholarship dollars to students wanting to study in China. So that's obviously very significant and dwarfs the amount of U.S. government funding that is currently going to fund international students' study in the United States. The greater majority of funding from institutions from U.S. side does come from the institutions themselves, colleges and universities. So let's take a look at that. Keep an eye on that one for future reference. And as China certainly has ambitions to grow well over 500,000 international students by 2020, they'll look more than likely to hit that mark in the next year or so. Let's look now at the flip side of the coin on why. What are parents of Chinese students looking at when they're making the college decisions for their students? And this is something that I think is maybe a little bit surprising with all the negative press that exists out there. And I'm just posting a link to this Pi News story on the title of the article is "Parents of Chinese Students in the United States Are Anxious." According to a report. And the report is done on a new INTED report produced in collaboration with Verikant. INTED out of Boston has been very active in preparing U.S. institutions that are looking to recruit in China, among other countries, and has some excellent research on best platforms that institutions should use, but also has a fairly good knowledge of the market. And certainly Verikant, if for those not familiar, that's a credential service in China related to for particularly U.S. clients. But it does tell those are the authors of the study. The bottom line is for the Chinese parents that they are concerned about safety of their children studying in the U.S. given all the publicity that major events have involved violence and gun violence and that type of thing, school violence in the past few months and years. They're concerned about that, but for the lion's share of those parents, the U.S. is still their first destination. So interestingly, 70% in that survey were indicated that parents of these parents of Chinese students that the U.S. was their first choice destination for their child, while only 9% said it wasn't. So 72% did indicate, despite that 70% saying the U.S. is still their first choice, that the current presidency has made them less interested in sending their children to study in the United States. So the idea of the Trump effect is certainly in terms of impacting willingness to consider the United States. It's making the U.S. a less attractive destination for them to send their children to. And this is in the largest market for international students in the United States. So, but they're still committed to the U.S. as the number one destination because of the quality. So what they indicated as their biggest worry, it was safety, and that was clear for 85% of the parents that were surveyed, and the other 15 chose a mix of unfriendly political environments and troubles getting a visa, which I think is probably less of a concern in recent years. So obviously a less significant minority were included in the obtaining a visa category. So politics and news about violence is what the main concern was, that 84% of these parents and families, parents are saying that they do consume U.S. news, not U.S. News and World Report, but just they consume what happens in the United States. And Ben Waxman at INTED has made some recommendations for that U.S. institutions should be investing more in positive messaging, and certainly I couldn't agree with that more. The you are welcome here messaging, certainly person-to-person contact between your students and prospective students and parents. Parent-to-parent is even better. But marketing materials in Mandarin, having a digital footprint in China, very important pieces of the puzzle. So I think when it comes to China as a market for U.S. institutions, the good news is, hey, they're still very eager to be a part of, see the U.S. as a major part of their college search, and they do consider the U.S. their number one destination. Interesting, further in the data, they look at a number of different factors to what parents were using most as part of their own information gathering. The survey did suggest that 43% of parents said that going to the having their child study abroad was their idea. Only 29% said it was the children who had the idea first to study abroad. So interestingly, that parents are a huge driver in the Chinese market, even more so. And families, it's a family discussion, family decision when children go abroad. So. They think that according to the survey, in terms of where parents are getting their information on particular universities, they use a number of online forums to gather information, and particularly one that I wasn't familiar with, GTER, which is certainly worth looking into, capital GTER, and specifically university websites. Those were clearly the top two. GTR was referenced 43% of parents' university websites by 41%, while only 21 consulted university rankings directly as a kind of an initial source. That being said about rankings, 46% did confirm academic reputation and rankings were an important factor in their decision, and others chose safety and careers as a possibility. The good news is only 1% of respondents were saying they looked for institutions with large Chinese populations already as an important determining factor. So some good interesting data about the Chinese market for U.S. institutions. So I certainly recommend giving that Pi News article a read, and hopefully that will outline some future steps that you can be taking as you tweak your messaging to the Chinese markets, work on your digital and media and web footprints there, but also the content that you're delivering in China. Are you using Mandarin content, translations of your content in country? What other things are you doing person to person as part of your recruitment strategy? So things to look at as you move forward there. The final and probably most informative piece I've seen in a while, before NACAC each year, there's an annual survey that is put out by Inside Higher Ed in collaboration with Gallup that surveyed 499 people who are senior international or senior admissions or enrollment management officials at their institutions. So the surveys were completely anonymous, but their institutions for the survey takers were tracked to allow for sorting by sector, according to the survey results. So obviously this survey does cover a broad range of topics related to enrollment management issues in the United States. The primary driver of these, of the questions, was on domestic admissions issues. Things like the May 1st deadline, whether or not that's still realistic. It talked about SAT and ACT as still being relevant, whether or not they'll continue to be relevant based on some recent trends in more prominent colleges going test optional, like University of Chicago recently. Similarly, they had some concerns about waiting lists in future. So a lot of it was domestic focused. And some of it, there's a review of a number of different pieces of the puzzle in terms of meeting their admissions goals, how many were meeting them by May 1st, the lion's share, public doctoral universities, research-driven universities, the only sector that had more than 50% of institutions surveyed meeting their enrollment goals by the May 1st deadline, with private bachelor's degree institutions at about 43%, private doctoral master's degrees at 47%. Community colleges faring the worst, only slightly less successful than public master's and bachelor's degree institutions, so at 26% and 27% respectively. So we're looking at some of this data isn't directly relevant for international students, but there were some pieces of this that were important as it relates to international enrollments. And there's a nice section in this article in the Inside Higher Ed piece that does reference the concerns about international enrollments. So There's been for at least a decade at many institutions placing a higher priority on recruiting international undergraduates. And the motivations have been a mix of educational value and practical considerations related to funding primarily, and whether that's for private institutions who are looking for students that can be full pays, but even state institutions that are bringing in out-of-state students, and international students certainly may fall into that category as helping to offset cuts in state aid. So that's long-standing issues in international higher ed. So what the report indicates is that, I think for many of the admissions directors that may have international as one piece of their puzzle, they are perhaps not as knee-deep in the day-to-day, but and seeing some of the realities and mega trends that have been happening over the last 4 or 5 years that have been impacting international enrollments even before Trump took office. But in this group, nearly 3/4, 74%, said the policies and rhetoric of the Trump administration have made it more difficult to recruit international students. So that's telling, and then maybe that's an excuse, but certainly some of the other information we've seen indicates that public perception abroad. Surveys certainly indicated that from the outset after the election, but certainly even a year and a half or more into almost 2 years since the election, when you're seeing parents of students in key markets like China, saying that that has made the U.S. less palatable and less attractive to them as a destination for their sons and daughters. That's a challenge. So of these admissions directors and deans and vice presidents of enrollment management, 57% said they're concerned about maintaining the current level of international enrollments, meaning 43% or so or less were either not concerned or are unsure. But the good news is there is some movement in terms of what institutions can do and should do if they're going to continue to attract or regain some of their losses in reevaluating their international admissions policies. And this reflects probably a growing trend in the markets that pathway programs, 57% of the admissions directors surveyed indicated pathway programs where international students enrolled to work on academics and English before coming in as full degree students will become more important, and that's certainly been the case at a number of institutions. 42% of admission directors saying that their college would need to consider increasing spending on scholarships for international students. And this certainly runs counter to the previous driver of colleges continuing to focus on full-pay internationals. So they may have to offset some of readjust their expectations. And in terms to still get those, what would have been full pays now, they're going to need to shell out a little bit more in terms of scholarship money to bring them in the door. And that is the piece of the puzzle that I think is most encouraging, is that more institutions that are able to provide aid to international students, the better their chances of securing, if everything else is certainly of interest to prospective students and their parents at a particular institution, that money can be a tipping point for students and parents, because it is a very significant commitment. And the way I've talked about this for a number of years is, you think about it, when if you're not an institution that's been abroad or has a presence in a particular country, and you go for the first time at a fair, you meet students who might have an interest in your school because of a major you offer, you start talking to them, you might get a chance to talk to their parents, and you're all of a sudden saying, well, for your son or daughter to come here, the reality is when you get down to brass tacks, when you're talking about the reality of coming to the United States to study, and your total cost is $50,000 a year, and they're going to be there for 4 years as an undergraduate, you're basically telling a parent who has no clue of who you are as an institution that they need to spend the equivalent of $200,000 over a four-year period for their son or daughter to attend your school sight unseen. That's a tough sell, and an expectation that that's going to happen right out of the gate is completely unrealistic, and admissions directors who believe that have some serious issues that they need to address in terms of their view of what international recruitment is like, because there are so many choices that international students have in terms of where they go, and not just in the United States anymore. They have many other countries that are potential destinations for them, and that's something that the more and more admissions directors become sensitive to, that it's not just a competition with other U.S. colleges they're in for international students, it's a competition with other destination countries as well. So there's some interesting things there that's in that survey. Again, it's a piece of it that's international focused, but always some good data, and I certainly encourage readers to give that a look-see. One thing I do want to share that for those of you who missed last week's session, we've recently relaunched our SMIE Consulting website, that's Social Media and International Ed Consulting. Name of the company, and we've relaunched the site, and I'll pop up what the site looks like. I'm very, very happy with the results here. We're seeing now the site you'll see on the bottom, and it's smieconsulting.org. I can go there directly. I'm also going to drop in the link. One of the other new services that I've introduced for the company is a subscription to a weekly newsletter that comes out on Mondays. This is kind of a larger summary of the week's top stories in terms of the number of stories that are covered, with some short one-liners, one or two-liners, and impact that I think those uh, those stories can have on institutions. So encourage all of you to check the subscription, check the new site out. To subscribe, I've dropped the link in the comments section on the Facebook page, smieconsulting.org/subscribe. Certainly, drop in your email. It's free. Recommend that you give that a look, and hopefully that'll be a useful service for you moving forward. Do check out the website. If you have any questions on any of the services we offer at SMIE Consulting, do let me know. We're available to do on-site workshops for staff, covering everything from social media training to communication flow messaging to more in-depth international enrollment planning. If you have some less substantial needs, like you need your social media to be audited, you need to get your international website up to speed and give that a fresh look on how well it's meeting how well it's meeting your international expectations from your students. So happy to talk to you about any of those needs. And if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, you're certainly welcome to do that too, where you can see any of these past episodes of the midweek roundup. And we'll look forward to communicating with you in the weeks to come. So thanks very much for your time today. Bye-bye.